You know, I don't realize that I am back. Good to see you today. Glad that we have such a beautiful day to be together. It's always a good day when we can come together to worship God, and we're thankful to Him for this opportunity, and I hope and pray that our study from His Word now will be honorable in His sight and be beneficial to us as we meditate upon the Word and will of God for our own lives. If you're here this morning, you're visiting, we welcome you. We appreciate that you're among us. We hope that you'll come back and join us, and we invite you to the Bible and consider with us the things that God has revealed to mankind, all the world. God has spoken to us in His Son. There is God, and He has revealed Himself in His Son, and in the Word that we can read and we can understand, that we can live by in our lives, to be assured of His blessings now and eternally. And so we invite you to do that, and we invite you to put your faith in the Christ who is the Son of God, as Peter confessed and as we read in Matthew the 16th chapter earlier, that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that if you will put your faith in Him to repent of your sins, to change your heart about violating God's will in your life, if you will confess your faith, and if you will be baptized in water for the remission of those sins, baptized into Christ, He will forgive you. He will wash your sins away. And add you to His church, you'll be redeemed, and you'll have the hope of heaven. Not as high in the sky by and by, but as our home. As being citizens of heaven, not of this earth. Our home's in heaven. And we're just passing through here. So we anticipate heaven, we long for it, we live for it. And we want to encourage you to do the same. We hope that that will be your decision today. Or to correct sin if it's in your life as a child of God, that can be a real and living hope in your life as well. And not a hope that will be lost because of allowing sin back into our lives, our heart and our lives. Brother Ralph, there for us in Ephesians 5, and I'd like to turn your attention there. Our lesson is walking wisdom, as we're going to take from verse 15 and following in just a moment, but it's important for us to set the context of some of this passage, and to do that, let's go all the way back up to the first verse of chapter 5, because really in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul talks very practically about doing the things that he had discussed all the way back into chapter 2 when he said that God had prepared good works for us to walk in. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Well, now in chapter 5, Paul urges us to walk in love as Christ loved us. First 7 verses. To walk means to be the conduct of our life. It's not just a sporadic, occasional thing. It's what we're practicing. And so he says, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as an offering of a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. So we are to walk in that same kind of love. Like Christ gave himself for us, we are to give ourselves to God and to those in our lives. We are to imitate God. And so we're to walk in love. He goes in, and by the way, in contrast to what the world often calls love in the next few verses, as he says, we're to put off fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. The things of this world that mystify and pervert and corrupt the love as we walk in love. Then in verses 8 through 14, he says, let us walk in light. Because you see, now we are children of light, and so we're to walk as children of light. Prior to our life in Christ, we were in darkness, he says in verse 8. We walk in darkness, we stumbled and we fell because we could not see where we were going. But now he says, walk in light as children of light, proving what is well pleasing to God. We are to have no fellowship with the works of darkness, but rather we're to expose them with the light of truth and righteousness, the light that comes from God in Christ. And in fact, he urges us to awake out of our sleep. He says, wake up and arise from the dead. Wake up from spiritual lethargy and spiritual sleep. And Christ will give you life. Christ is the source of the light that we need to illuminate our path, to illuminate our decisions, to illuminate how we speak, to illuminate how we live every single day. Walk in light as children of light. And then in verses 15 and following, he talks about walking in wisdom and walking carefully or circumspectly, he says. To walk in wisdom. Now, let's begin by noting that the fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins. Wisdom is the right use, the prudent use of what we know and what is true. And Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. We're never going to have wisdom from above if we do not fear God, respect and reverence Him, that we shape and mold the course of our life after the reality that God has chosen, that we are in His presence, and that our conduct is to reflect that we know that He is, that He rules, that He blesses, that He is available to us to bless, but He is also sovereign, and He calls upon us to listen to His word and will and follow Him. Without that fear of God, then the best we can hope for is the wisdom that's from beneath, that's of this world. The wisdom that's from the darkness. The wisdom that doesn't walk in light. So that's where it begins. If we want to walk in wisdom in our lives, we must give attention to fearing God. Dreading displeasing Him. It is our intent to please Him. It is our purpose. It is our motive. It is so we conform ourselves, our walk, our practice, our life, to those things that are acceptable to Him, that please Him. Now, the fool, on the other hand, despises wisdom and instruction. Note in Proverbs 1 and verse 7, as the Proverbs began here, Solomon began them, he said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, know where knowledge comes from. He says knowledge comes from instruction. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you bring those together, instruction and wisdom. When we're instructed, we gain knowledge, and when we apply that knowledge, wisdom is produced. So we have to be instructed so that we can have a knowledge of God, so that we can have a wisdom. The fear of God is at the basis of all of that. If we don't fear God, how much time are we going to give the Bible? But if we fear God, how much time will we give the Bible? If we fear God, will we be interested in listening to what God has to say? Of course we will. But if we don't fear God, then instruction from His Word, not all that important. Not all that crucial to the decision-making process for our life. The result of that is not going to be wisdom. It's going to be the opposite. If we want to walk in wisdom, he said in that passage back there in Ephesians 5, our text for this morning, he said, be careful. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. So walk as wise. Or walk carefully, circumspectly. That is, looking all about, looking how you are, examining everything around you, so as to be wise. Now, if we're going to examine the carefulness of our life, that's really what Paul is saying here, is examine the degree of our carefulness in life. To what degree are we careful? Not just are we careful, but to what degree are we careful in how we live? In Luke 1 and verse 3, the same word is used, and it gives us some insight. In Luke 1 and verse 3, Luke says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, an accurate account. He's the same word, an accurate account. Luke is going to give an accurate account of the life of Jesus. It was going to be a careful account.
And he says, look carefully how you walk. He says, examine how you're living. Is it accurate in terms of wisdom? Are you being cautious and careful to fear the Lord so that you can receive the instruction that comes from Him to know His will and then turn that into practical action? Make the choices. See, wisdom is about over, about making the choices
that are right and prudent, that are useful in the cause of God. So, look carefully how you walk, or see that you walk circumspectly. Be sure you're walking in love. Be sure you're walking in the light. And be sure now that you're being defined, your life is being defined by wisdom, anchored in fearing God,
hearing His instruction to know truth, to then apply that truth consistently, carefully, wisely in your life.
So look what Paul says is about the attributes of walking in wisdom. Let's just go through our text this morning and let it teach us some ways that we walk in wisdom, that we should be walking in wisdom. What is wisdom? Redeems the time. Verse 16. He says redeeming the time. In fact, that's the part of the sentence. Let's put it all together and you see how it flows. See then that you walk circumspectly or walk carefully, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Here's how you walk carefully. Here's how you walk in wisdom is you use the opportunities that you're given.
You use the opportunities of life. He says the days are evil. There is calamity that arises in life.
Sometimes because of the simple choices we make, and sometimes through no choice of our own,
calamities arise. There's certainly the influences of sin that bring them
at times, Ephesians 6 and 12, because there he says we wrestle against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places.
So we have to put on the armor of God to fight that battle. The days are evil.
And so he says if you're going to walk in wisdom in the midst of evil days, you got to use the opportunities you have while you have them. You can't put off doing what's right. You can't put off obeying God. You can't put off changing and
your own heart, your own mind, and growing in Christ. You can't put off getting stronger as a Christian. You can't put off walking in love. You can't put off walking in the light.
You need to wake up, he said.
You need to buy up the opportunities that you have while you have them. Jesus lived that way.
He lived that way in John 4, verses 34 and 35. Read that passage with me. It says
do you not say, Jesus speaking to the Samaritans, actually verse 34, I'm sorry, speaking to the disciples, he's in Samaria, but he said, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Do you not say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest? But behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. Well, they are already white for harvest.
Jesus said, raise your eyes and see. And of course, what he was telling them to do is not look at the grain field, but look at the people that were coming towards them to hear Jesus. Look at the opportunities. He says, they're right there in front of you. We have opportunities in front of us, and we need to do a better job, don't we? We need to redeem the time that we have for the strengthening of ourselves, for the strengthening and encouraging of each other, and for the seeking to save those who are lost. Wisdom dictates that we redeem the time. It's grounded in fear of God. And so we make choices that are wise rather than squandering the time that God has blessed us with.
Time is a blessing.
It is a blessing. And yet,
we don't know how much we have, so it's prudent to take advantage of the time that we have. It's wise.
That's what we all need to do. We're not going to live forever. Brother Willard passed 90 years a few days ago. who exists in Christ died just yesterday.
That I know that was in Arizona and then in Kentucky. Life is a blessing, time is a gift, and death comes to us all. Wisdom regains our time.
That's what it means, walking. We walk carefully. Buy up your opportunity to do the good will of God. Another attribute of wisdom in this text is that wisdom understands the will of the Lord.
He said, do not be foolish. Well, here's again, keying on the contrast with wisdom. He said, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, to understand what the will of the Lord is, it means that we're going to value instruction and knowledge
as well as wisdom.
It means that we're going to have to apply ourselves to
reading what's been written so we can understand God's will. Studying God's word, learning God's word. What does God say that I need in my life to be able to walk in love and to walk in life and to walk carefully in wisdom? Things I've written before,
Ephesians 3:3.
Out of my revelation was made known to me in mystery, as I wrote with you for a few words, whereby when you read, you can understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You can understand what the apostle means, but it takes time with God's word.
Now, do we fear God enough to spend time with His Word? Do we fear Him enough that we are going to put our love in the book and we're going to learn what God's Word says?
He says, that's what we need to avoid being foolish.
That's what we must do. Don't be foolish. You don't know the Word of God, you're going to make foolish choices. That's right. You're not going to make the wise decisions that you can make and redeem the time to do what's good and right if you don't know God's Word. It follows necessarily. This is Philippians 1:9-11.
Paul wrote, then I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment. He wanted them to love each other and grow in love. But he said to accomplish that, it's got to abound in knowledge and discernment. Correct love grows out of correct knowledge,
correct discernment.
Now, to discern is to distinguish, to
know the difference. And he goes on to describe this, that you may approve the things that are excellent.
Distinguish right from wrong, the things that differ from what God's will and what is not.
We've got to have discernment. But that comes, he says, as we grow in knowledge. So that we can make right choices, that you can be sincere without offense to the day of Christ.
We don't make our choices based on our own desire, our own wisdom, our own will.
He says to be sincere and without offense to the day that Jesus comes back.
We've got to grow in a knowledge that produces divine love and the discernment to choose the thing God wants us to choose. Walk. So, walk in wisdom. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Remember wisdom? Fear the Lord at the beginning of wisdom. And the fools despise knowledge and instruction. So are we being wise to take advantage of our opportunity to grow in knowledge? To be here in Bible class? To read our Bible ourselves and study ourselves? To be a part of the process that God has given us to grow in knowing the will of God so we can make the wise choices to turn away from sin? Or this Bible class really is not that big an interest or deal to us? Be wise. How can you be wise if you don't know God's will? You can't make wise choices if you don't know God's will. You can't know God's will at the same time as God's will. These are attributes of wisdom that are practical
to help us make the choices that will abound to our eternal salvation.
Thirdly, in this verse, it says, wisdom is filled with the Spirit.
And of course, that goes right along with what we've been saying, because he says in verse 18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit.
Be under the control of the Spirit. Well, if you understand the will of the Lord,
then you'll be under the control of the Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God who has revealed the will of the Lord.
Colossians 3:16 says, to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Galatians 5:16 and 17 shows the conflict between choosing to live according to the desires of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, or to be led by the Spirit of God. To be filled with the Spirit is to be under His control.
John was said to be filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb.
He was under the control of the Spirit. Acts 6 and verse 3, they were to select 7 men of good report, full of the Holy Spirit.
And he said, he's really getting nobody to use the word miracle.
Now he said, find these 7 men who have put themselves under the control of the Spirit of God. They are full of the Spirit.
How do you fill yourself up with the Spirit of God?
How do you do that practically? Holy Spirit, come on down and fill me up. But how do you, he says, do it? He says, fill yourself with the Spirit.
Only way I know to do that is to fill yourself up with His Word.
Amen.
You fill yourself up with His Word so you can be led by Him, so you can live in Him, so you can walk in Him.
All of those expressions are used in relation to Christ so we can bear the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we fill ourselves up with the desires of the flesh, and live in the flesh, and walk in the flesh, and are led by the flesh, we do the works of the flesh, and we lose our soul eternally.
Wisdom dictates that we fill ourselves up with the Spirit of God, not the intoxicants like wine, which is a long-term, strong drink of all, or whoever errs thereby is not wise, or whoever errs thereby is a fool. Because there you find waste, there you find excess, there you find minds that are not given to the control, being controlled by the Spirit of God, the Word and will of God, but controlled by the flesh. And then out of control, without self-control, so as to no longer think soberly
and righteously and with good example. It's kind of a situation.
He says to the young men, of course, the principles he teaches young men applies to all of us, but he says, likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Sober-minded. The intoxicants of wine, of alcohol, are the exact opposite. It removes sober-mindedness, clear thinking, self-control. He says, in all things, show yourself to be a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that no one who is an opponent may be ashamed, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed having nothing evil to say to you.
Don't give the devil an opportunity. You buy up your opportunity, walk in wisdom, redeem your time, understand the will of the Lord, be filled with the Spirit of God, be under His control.
Not under the control of those things, but just give the opponent an opportunity to cast aside the truth and make yourself irrelevant in trying to bring a God being to bear in this world.
Wisdom dictates that we fill ourselves with the Spirit of God. By letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly, Colossians 3 verse 16.
So that we think clearly and soberly, that we are able to have spiritual discernment, so that we set the example of godliness in this godless world. Wisdom also worships in song.
Ephesians
5 and verse 19 goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Wisdom buys up its opportunities to worship God. In particular, he says, speak to one another in psalms.
He says, speak to each other evangel song as he goes on in,
oh, as he is talking to his contact earlier, not in lies and anger, not in bitterness, but in edifying words. Back up to chapter 4. Look at verses 25 and 26.
He says, therefore putting away lies. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil.
Let him his soul feel no more.
But rather let him labor, working with his hands that which is good, that he may have something to give to those who have need. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such is a good for necessary
edification. All right there. Singing provides words coming out of our mouth that are good for necessary edification. We need singing.
We need to sing to God,
and we need to be sung to.
You see, when we sing, we speak to each other as well as making melody in our hearts to the Lord. He says, speaking one to another.
We need to be sung to. So, dear Christian, are you singing? Do you sing? Do you actually form the words, open your mouth, and let your heart speak the words? Are you actually singing?
I need you to sing. I need your singing. You need our singing. We need to speak to one another in song.
Those are necessary words that build us up. Not the words of bitter malice, but the words of forgiving compassion. He says, put away bitterness,
wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking from you with all malice,
and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgetting each other, even as God in Christ forgave you.
The wisdom of worship that God has so arranged is to bring our heart in unity with our God and with each other, so that in our conduct of singing in truth, we speak the word that we need.
We need the exhortation. We need the warning. We need the encouragement. The necessary edification of Solomon. He says that walking in wisdom.
That's why.
It's not about how you sit, how you sound, or how you don't sound. It's about speaking the words in song. Are you off key? Fine, sing. Are you on key? Fine, sing. Sing. Speak to one another. You see, you're singing. Well, it is about you. I was going to say it's not about you. It is about you toward God. It's also about you to your brother or your sister. Well, sing to one another. Speak to one another. In songs, we're hearing the spiritual songs as we're singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's why.
That's wisdom at work. That's walking wisely, carefully, in these evil days. Wisdom also is thankful always in all things.
Attribute of wisdom is thankfulness. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, wisdom is thankful. Wisdom
learns to be content in whatever circumstance it is. Wisdom is able to say with food and clothing, we'll be content.
Content. Are we content? Really? I mean, are we content?
So magnificently blessed with material things, but you see, with that blessing comes a temptation to not be content. Because we have at our disposal the means and capabilities to very often acquire something that we think is going to make us content, but then before long we're no longer content with that. We got to move to something else. You know, the real problem is because we think things are going to make us content. Things don't translate into contentment.
Love of money is the source of all kinds of evil.
When we elevate things and think things bring contentment, then we're not being wise. What helps us bring contentment, among other things, is thanksgiving.
Gratitude
makes what we have enough.
Gratitude to God. Thankfulness to God makes what we have enough.
kitchen humor on the wall.
Pretty good thought. Because you see, we put our trust then in God, not in ourselves and in things.
Isn't it intriguing in Hebrews 13:5 that we're a verse we often turn to
teach us about God never leaving us or forsaking us? That it comes,
that comes right after he says, let your conduct be without covetousness, be content
with such things as you have. I will no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you. The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What will man do to me?
If God, if we're truly going to trust God, we've got to develop contentment rather than covetousness. And thankfulness will help us be content
and avoid the sin of covetousness. Wisdom is always thankful. Thanksgiving
immediately is a response as we see a beautiful day. As we see a meal set before us, and much more than we can eat at a day. Or even when we have just enough thanksgiving. In a little or a lot, Paul said, I'm going to be content. One reason is because he developed and maintained thankfulness for God. And finally, in this text, he said, wisdom submits to one another in the fear of God.
You see, that wisdom, to walk in wisdom, means we're submitting to one another in the fear of God. The idea of submit is the idea of subordinating. You subordinate yourself to another. 1 Peter 5. And verse 5 says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. It's impossible to be submissive if we are not humble. Humility drives submissiveness to God and toward one another. In Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. He says, watch your motives. Be careful. But rather in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also, and that is especially for the interest of others.
That's how you go. That's really what submitting yourself one to another in the fear of God is all about. We're driven by the best interest of
the other person instead of ourselves. And we look out especially for their interests before we get so consumed and wrapped up about our own interests.
Submitting yourself to one another in the fear of God. Because we come right back to where we started. You see, it's that respectful devotion to God to do the things that please Him that He accepts, Ephesians 5 and 10.
Things that are acceptable to God.
So, you know, it's
when we submit to one another in the fear of God, it's not just about doing something that's acceptable to us, each other. It's
being careful that we yield ourselves to one another in humility as we are respectful of God, as we're fearing God, as we're together seeking to please God in the choices that we're making. Wisdom is to submit to one another, to subordinate ourselves, because we're all under this rule of God. And so with respectful devotion to Him, we devote ourselves to one another. By truth and fell in love.
Yea, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Proverbs 23 and verse 3. 23. By which acquire truth and don't relinquish it. Wisdom, instruction, and understanding.
How important is it? How valuable is it? You could buy truth.
What would you have?
See, the thing is, God calls us, He gives us truth for free.
He says, acquire, He says, come to it, and I'll give you what you know, what you need, free charge.
Isaiah 55, I believe the verse I'm thinking about.
I'll get over there to it. Isaiah 55. If I'm correct here, it says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread and the wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good. And let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I'll give you an everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David.
You see, when we talk about finding the truth, we're talking about receiving the truth that comes from Almighty God. It's knowledge, instruction, and wisdom
by which He shapes and molds us into His image. And we trust that by living that life of faith, we're pleasing God.
Look what wisdom does as we close. Our study for today. Wisdom respects the uncertainty of time by addressing opportunities in that. Wisdom learns the will of God. Wisdom lives under control of the Spirit of God. Wisdom worships in spirit and truth. Wisdom is always thankful. And wisdom submits to those persons with God's wishes. Let's walk in wisdom.
We have that choice, either we walk in wisdom or we're foolish. It is the wisdom of God, the wisdom from above, that will bear good fruit unto Him. If you're not a Christian, wisdom begins in hearing His truth and fearing God to repent and put your faith in Christ, repent and be baptized. And we hope that you'll do that today. That you'll become a Christian. That you'll be converted to be a follower of Jesus. And live and be forgiven of your sins. If you're not a Christian, do that today. We'll help you as we stand and sing. If you need to correct sin as a Christian, we hope that you'll do that too. Won't you come while you stand and sing?